We had mentioned that the Ramchal found a little bit of Menuchas HaNefesh when he left Padua. So due to all the tzaras that he had and came down to Amsterdam. One of the misnagdim that he had was actually a rav in Amsterdam. His name was Rabbi Yaleib. This rav, Rabbi Yaleib, happened to be a brother-in-law of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden, you know, was no newcomer when he came to Kenoyes. And it seemed that the brother-in-law, you know, they had the same type of ishita. And Ramchal suffered quite a bit from the hands of Rabbi Yaleib. That was before actually he arrived in Amsterdam. In other words, they were brothers-in-law because Rabbi Yaleib was the son-in-law of the Chacham Tzvi. And Yaakov Emden was the son of the Chacham Tzvi. So Rabbi Yaleib was the son-in-law, and he was a rav in Amsterdam. We should mention that Rabbi Yaleib's son was also a good rabbi with Shol Amsterdam. Shol Amsterdam is the mechaber to Sefer Binyan Ariel. Which is a very well-known Godel. And matter of fact, when you speak about Amsterdam, very often the name of Shol Amsterdam is the first that comes to mind. He was identified with the name Amsterdam, Reb Shol Amsterdam, which was under Gedoy Lahador. He was the son of Rabbi Yaleib. So Rabbi Yaleib, as we say, was one of the misnagdim of the Ramchal. But it becomes quite clear through evidence in a roundabout way, not directly, but in a roundabout way, that in fact that they all made peace once they got to know him, because many of them misnagged him against him simply because they didn't know him. It was based on hearsay and based upon the various opinions, you know, that were floating around and been written from one place to another. And the suspicions seem to be very probable. You realize that Ramchal already, to all the claims that he made in terms of his you know, in terms of the greatness of Kabbalah that he had a magid, you see, we're still on now, he's still a bocher. That was one of the tainas that he had against him. How is it that you're not married? As a matter of fact, due to the coaxing of his Rebbe, Bishai Basam, matter of fact, he urged him that in fact they should get married already. And also one of the other things was the thing that Ramchal did not have a beard, which is very interesting thing. Ramchal did not have a beard. That was another thing that they had against him. Agav Ruch, I should mention that in that Kufa over there, many of the great Gedol Rabbonim, many great Rabbonim did not have beards. Italian rabbis did not have beards. So we should mention maybe someone is in the Chabad of the Shalos Teshuvos Zera Emes. It's considered in the eyes, even the Hasidic world, as an Ish Kodesh. I know they know that part. But they quoted all over, tremendous Pesach and everything, Shmuel HaKohen. And also it is in all portraits that one has is that did not have a beard. And matter of fact, one of the great Gedolim of the time, also the Baal Shemesh Tzedoko, Reb Shamshon Mapurgo, writes about it that Pialocha, you don't really have to have a beard, and yes, there's an inyonim to have it, and so on and so forth. And they had the reason, due to the culture over there, in terms of the relationship to the government, why they thought it would be better for Jewish interests that they do not have beard, and they can be more influential. So once the Ramchal makes his way to Amsterdam, it becomes evident that Rabbi Yaleib no longer was really a misnagid and really got to recognize his greatness. And that becomes basically evident from the fact is because in 1733, actually, they published a sefer, which is called Derech Chochma. It's called Derech Chochma. Actually, it's in 1783. Okay, that's right after the Petir of the Ramchal. At that time, the Rav of Amsterdam was Reb Shol, Amsterdam. His father, Rabbi Yaleib, was at the time of the Ramchal. And the Reb Shol was already after him. And who gives us comment to the Sefer Derech Chochma of the Ramchal? Well, Reb Shol Amsterdam gives us comment. And not stam, a very flowery, very tremendously, a very beautiful, the appraisal that he writes regarding Ramchal, one cannot imagine that had his father not changed his mind, that Reb Shol, even if he felt otherwise, would go openly and write so positive, and give us comment on a Sefer Ramchal, had his father still maintained his opposition till his last day. So this is basically, which becomes the evidence that Rabbi Yaleib changed his mind once he got really to know the Ramchal, as we say, when the Ramchal came and he settled in Amsterdam for the short tkufa. So the nusach that he writes was just was tremendous, tremendous lashonis he writes there in the Askoma. And he says that, Rav Shoy writes that when growing up in Amsterdam, he heard about the Gedula from the people who knew the Ramchal, he says, and matter of fact, because the Pshaw later on he moved away, but he became Rav. When his father passed away, he became Rav. He comes back to Amsterdam to be Mamal of the Mokim of his father, Bar Yalei. So he says he spoke to people who really knew the Ramchal, and he spoke to great Gedolim, great Talmid Chachom of Amsterdam, and he said they spoke about the greatness of Nigla Nisa in all areas of Torah, that the Ramchal had a tremendous command. And tremendous shvachim noroyim he heard v'nifloyim. Not stamp praises. But he says, awesome, awesome, and pelvic praises that he all basically, that he lavished upon the Ramchal. And so mentioning all these situations is, the great Baal Mekubal, you know, was the elder Baal Mekubal of his time, which was Rabbi Yamin HaKoyen, known in short, the Rabach. He was the elder Baal Mekubal of the generation, and he was the father-in-law of Ramchal's Rebbe. Again, Ramchal's Rebbe was Abishai Basan, which we mentioned many times. So Abishai Basan was known as the Rebbe Ador Nigla, right? However, his father-in-law was Rabbi Yamin HaKoyen. He was one of the elder Baal Mekubalim. He was a Talmud of the Moshe Zakuto. Moshe Zakuto, again, was the preeminent Baal Mekubal. Lived and was Nifter in Mantova. That was the kever that we found, the sign, the Poy Nitman that over here is buried, Rav Moshe Zakuto, and Rav Maamar Pano, by the way, also there in Mantova. So, the Rabach is something we mentioned. I'm just glad to mention again because it's an awesome thing. Rabach, who was the elder Baal Mekubal, and Ramchal was still young in his 20s, and Rabach sends letters to Ramchal that Ramchal should answer him the questions that he has regarding areas in Kabbalah, and that Ramchal should tell him what his Sheirish Neshama is, what the root of his Neshama. Ramchal should reveal to Binyamin HaKoyen from where the root of his Neshama comes from. Again, which is something which is an amazing thing, which is always so surprising to see such an elder, with a preeminent Baal Mekubalim of the generation, how he'd be clearly Machniah himself, become subordinate and be Mevatel himself, you know, to the greatness of Ramchal. In addition, of course, that we mentioned is, of course, the Goyen Hador, Yitzchak Lampruntzi, of course, went, he was a great Goyen in Igla, for the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, the encyclopedic work, but he went to learn Kabbalah by Ramchal. And you might remember that we mentioned that when he saw something that his eyes could not believe, he saw that Ramchal took out a sheet of paper and he started to write. In less than a couple of seconds, the entire page was already filled completely with words. He said something which B'derech HaTeva, it's not possible. Only someone, right, had higher powers was able to do that. And this was a person, you can't pull the wool over his eyes. Yitzchak Lampruntzi was a scientist, went a major physician, and the Gedolei Hador in Tevel learning, which was not unusual in those days that Rabbanim had, of course, education, university, and so on and so forth, and they were preeminent physicians. The same thing with Shemesh Tzedakah, B'sham Shemo Pergo, was a major physician. He was a Gedolei Hador, was a Pesach, in Ancona, and so on and so forth. This was quite a common situation. Yitzchak Lampruntzi goes to learn a Kabbalah, and he writes, as he say, the tremendous things that he said, and said all the things that they say against Ramchal has to be clearly sheker, because he himself, he was there, and he saw the Ramchal, and he saw all the greatness, and as a matter of fact, he went to study Kabbalah by him, by the Ramchal. Interesting thing is also that there is a Rav later in the 1800s, was a Rav in Padua, his name is Rav Mordechai Shmuel Gerundi. Mordechai Shmuel Gerundi did something which is made a major contribution to the Rabbanim of Italy, the sense that he basically wrote a systematic historical biography going by the Seder of Aleph Beis, going back as far as he was able to muster and to find information on all the various different Rabbanim throughout the Tkufas, going back hundreds of years, in all different cities throughout Italy. And Rav Mordechai Shmuel Gerundi himself, he became actually the Av Bez, became a Rav, official Rav in Padua. That's already in the 1800s. That's where he passed the Ramchal. And he writes over there, he received a letter. He received a letter in 17, right? He receives a letter that was Tovkuf Tzadigim, was actually in 1833. He receives a letter from a great Baal Mekubal called Rav Avram Riggio. Ram Riggio is a great Baal Mekubal, and he writes a letter to Rav Mordechai Shmuel Gerundi. This great Baal Mekubal, Rav Ram Gerundi, writes, and it says the following. Gamdati Maskem says, my mind also agrees, he says, to the minds of those who are Mahapach B'Shus, who took the side of being Ram B'Shus and Ramchal. Harav HaGodol, Marenu Ramosh Chaim Lutzato. Kol Chavod HaShavit, a meteoric rise. It was a meteoric rise. And he says, even though it was Machmasino V'Kino Shel Oivov, it was because of jealousy. Right? And enemies, he says, simply that could not imagine that such a young man would be able to surpass in greatness, you know, many, many, many who are much older than him. And he says, it's not a pillow that a great man like that has opposition. We know Moshe Rabbeinu always had a lot of opposition. Well, his name was also Moshe, Moshe Chaim, the name of the Ramchal. One of the names of Ramchal was Moshe. Well, if Moshe Rabbeinu was shy for him that to have a lot of opposition, he beat to Achre Moshe, you know, as we know. Right? So they always found avlus and they found things they have to point the fingers against the Moshe Rabbeinu. So this Rabbi Avraham Rigio says, it's not a chiddush to me, that doesn't mean anything, to the fact that he has opposition. Because many great people have opposition, and no one greater than Moshe Rabbeinu himself that had quite a bit of opposition. But then he says, this Avram Rigio writes, continues to his letter, to Ramorcha Shmuel. He said, I want you to know, he says, I met a Zokin V'Yoshish, I met an elderly person, his name was Reb Shloimeh. This is Shloimeh Tzavita, that was his name, Shloimeh Tzavita. And we got to talking about Ramchal. V'Omar Li Hadvorim Ha'elim. These are the words I heard from Reb Shloimeh. Okay, this Avram Rigio, himself a great Baal Mekubel, writes what he heard from Reb Shloimeh Tzavita. Da, I want you to know, said Reb Shloimeh, Ki ani oyisi bebeis medroshoi hakodesh. I was in the Bismedrish, in the holy Bismedrish Ramchal. I was mepeyute talmidov. I was from the, he said, from the weakest of talmidim, many, many greater than me. I was a talmid, he says, much of the shvacher, the weakest, weaker of the talmidim. But Belaila Echor was one night, he says, I remember. After Chatzos was after Chatzos, Kimin Hoga Lokum B'Cholayla V'Layla Ramchal. After Chatzos, the midrash was that's when he would get into the Begotar and come into the Beis Medrash to study with the Talmidim. It was a special inyan to learn after Chatzos. So he'd be his midrash was B'Cholayla V'Layla Lirmoidim Talmidim Hagdolim with the most choshev Talmidim. U'Betoichel Modeinu, he says, and why? He says, while we were learning, he says, what we heard was a knock on the door. We hear a knock on the door, Hakoshes Adelis. There was someone knocking on the door, and this is way after Chatzos. Holchu Liftoyach, we went to open the door. V'hoya Harav HaGodol Rabavi Adzar Sholem Bazilo. Someone we mentioned. Rabavi Adzar Sholem Bazilo was, again, it's hard to say, we talk about this one was the greatest Baal Mekubel, this one was the greatest Baal Mekubel. Well, there were a lot of them. This particular one, the Chidor, writes tremendously about Aviad Sar Sholem, this is not the name, Aviad Sar Sholem, Basilo. He was one of the Chachmei Italia, who basically, he was, so to speak, someone who jumped on board a little bit lately. First, basically, he mastered all secular Chachma, before, let us call it, relatively speaking, that he saw the light. So he was a tremendous philosopher. Chidor writes about that. And he comes on to become one of the greatest Talmid Chachamim and one of the greatest Baal Talmid Chachamim. He was the Talmid of Yehuda Bril. Yehuda Bril was again one of the greatest philosophers. Also his cave is in Mantova, which was not mentioned. We couldn't find anything because it's surrounded and you can't, there's no entry there. There was not even a simon there, but we know the cave of Yehuda Bril was one of the greatest Lechemim against Shabsai Tzvi. And again Nechem Yechiyon. As a matter of fact, the Chacham Tzvi took assistance from Rabbi Yehuda Bril. He was considered like the authority of Italy, Rabbi Yehuda Bril. And Rabbi Yitzhak Sholem was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Bril. And also he was a Talmud of Yitzhak Lampunti that we mentioned before, the Mechaber of the Pachad Yitzchak. So we say the following. All the Chochmas, he says, I mastered, he says, all the disciplines of wisdom in 10 years. But he says, regarding the Chochmas HaTalmud, he says, I'm already aged and I did not even scratch the surface, he writes, to show the difference between all, because he mastered all the other stuff. And he writes the difference between Chochmas HaTalmud, that he studied and studied and studied and yet did not manage even to scratch the surface, and all the other Chochmas he managed, in 10 years' time, he managed all of it. And it was at the age of 44, that basically that's when he became steeped in Kabbalah, and he wrote a sefer called Amunas Chachomim. That's the sefer that he's known by. Really, really quoted by Rabbi Yankev Emden. quoted by Rav Moshe Chagiz, he was the one who started the whole thing with against Ramchal. So these great people recognize the godliness of this Rabbi Atzar Sholem. Now, knock on the door, writes this Rav Shlomer, knock on the door at the Chatzos. By the way, he didn't live in Padua. He must have made a trip there to Padua, obviously. And knock on the door at the Chatzos. Who comes there? Rabbi Atzar Sholem, the great Baal Mekubal. And he comes because he wants to ask Shabbo Rishol Shaila Amuka. He wants to ask a deep Shaila from Ramchal. Be'inyan HaKabbalah Ha'iyunis, in terms of some deep Kabbalah. Rice of Shlomer. Rabbi Atzar Sholem presents the question, and must have been a very difficult question, because if he couldn't answer it, and he felt that the only one who's able to give him an answer to that is the Ramchal. Ramchal hears the question, Rice of Shlomer the following. Ve'ayinu sh'rabbeinu nofal al ponov al ha'shulchan. We saw that Ramchal put his face on the table. Bishoa kimoy chamisha regoim. 5 minutes. Seis was on the table. Ba'akach kom. Then Ramchal got up. The heishiv loy tshuva kol kach nitzachas umukubelas. He gave him such a phenomenal tshuva and answer that Harav Hanal, that the Rav that we're speaking of, Rav Aviad, in a Yosei Zokin, was already an elderly person. When a sight upon him, world famous, Rotz al hatas roisha, he bent his head, or wanted to be mekabel a bracha from Ramchal, who was much, much younger. He said, Ramchal, when he was nifter, was just about the age of 40, just under the age of 40. So at that time, he was much younger still. Much younger. And the Yatzar Sholem, again, it was Lizokin, with the great Baal Mekubalim, the son of spoil from the Tshuva Ramchal, Yisuf Shlomer says he was there. That if Rotzo Lahakish Roisha, they wanted to bend his head, Lekabalim in Arav, as Bechosoi in Hayosu Bochur. He was such a youngster. This Hadova Zara'isi, this is what I saw. Well, Bevadai Mestama Ruanovi had to come to give him that tshuva. It's in the 5 minutes that he put his head down. When Hashemayim came to give him the tshuva, they should be able to answer the proper tshuva to Baviyad Sarsholoim. And Mamele, he said, Umayochlu Ledaber, such a great man, if you're talking about Ramchal, how can anybody even attempt to speak against him? Shlohigil Lekasulov, all those that spoke against him did not reach up to his ankles. Forget about reaching up to his shoulder. He writes, Kibonvad, because besides Shoya Roshum, Ramchal mastered Kol Mina Chochmas. We know there was a poet. He was even a playwright, by the way, in his early years. Mamish, there's a lot of stories about that. And Betoroseinu, Omuk Omuk, he also was a tremendous honor despite of all the knowledge that he had. And so he says, but at the end of the day, he says, the world exonerated and came to recognize the godless of Ramchal. All this is written by Bavram Rigio from Moshe Shmuel Gerundi, who is the Rav of Padua, and Moshe Shmuel is the one who publicized this letter. He says, Amichtav Azez Hafl Vefela, he said this letter, by the Talmud who saw this encounter between the great Baal Mekubal, the Zokin Hador in Kabbalah, Rav Aviad Tzar Shalom, comes to ask the Shaila from Ramchal. So we're going to leave it here for this, Rabbi Isai, because Rabbi Moshe Shmuel himself has more to say about Ramchal, even though he was the Rav of Padua, from what he heard from predecessors. So leave that mention for the future. We'll go now, we're starting actually, it's Chelik Beis in your edition, it is Chelik Beis, everybody's edition actually, but it's Daf Nun Dalad in the Ramchal that you have, it's Chelik Beis Peregrishon. Here the Ramchal starts to talk about Hashgoche Protis, divine providence. Talking about Hashgoche Protis, I want to mention this is sort of like a Hagdomat Hashgoche Protis. In the following upcoming chapter, Ramchal elaborates it more. Here's sort of a general overview, which we're not going to really get a full handle in terms of Ramchal's complete understanding of Hashgoche Protis, but this is sort of like an introduction of what Hashgoche Protis is all about. And Ramchal basically posits a yisoy, there is a totally different Hashgoche Protis to the world in general. To the world in general, because Hashgoche Protis, we'll see from Ramchal, applies to every aspect in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hands-on in anything, in every aspect. Even stones, trees, anything that's in this world, animals. But there is a specific, different kind of Hashgoche Protis regarding to man. So man basically enjoys a different level of Hashgoche Protis than HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have regarding anything else in creation. That's basically what Ramchal says here in this parak. And this is how it formulates it. But I said again, this parak is just an introduction, and the subsequent parakim will deal in further detail regarding Hashgoche Protis. He starts out with the following words. He starts out with the following words, Aleph, Yedua Mevayahu. He says, it's known and it's clear. It's known and it's clear. There's a pirish on Derech HaChaim, it's called Mare Derech. Because the Sefer is called Derech Hashem. So the pirish is called, there's a pirish called Mare Derech. That's to show you the Derech. Try to explain sometimes some of the words of Ramchal. So you, the philosophy is many, those who try to explain Ramchal, but there's no extra word in Ramchal. We don't always bother with that because it becomes too tedious. But however, every time Ramchal seems to say double phrase, which seems to mean that he's repeating himself or merely reiterating, it's not so. There's a different emphasis. For example, it's known and clear. Seems to be saying more or less the same thing. Yidua, right? It's known and it's clear. So the Sefer Maradarach suggests, when Ramchal says Yidua, it's known, it means that's known from tradition. We have a Messiah. It's known. Clear means that it can be proven by logical deduction. That's called clear. Something clear means that it's logical. So when Amchal says that it's Yidua and it's Mevoyer, right? Means too, it's known and it's clear. Known means because we have a tradition. And Mevoyer means it's clear because it's something that's also logical. And what is that? Shekolam Mevoyim Kulam Shenivru. What's clear, says Ramchal, and known, that of all the beings that were created, all beings that are created, he says, Ben Hoyoinim, Ben Ataktoinim, whether the creations of the upper world, or whether in this world, anything that was created, he says, Hine Nivru, he says, they were created, in other words, everything that Hashem created, because Hashem in His great wisdom saw that there's a need and a purpose. Seems quite obvious, right? Logical also. Hashem hadn't created it. It's Yidua Mavur, anything that's created, whether it be an Elyonim, whether it's the Elyonim or Tachtonim, because Hashem saw the Chochm Elyonim, but Hashem's great wisdom, His divine wisdom, He saw that there's a need, and He saw that there was a purpose. But we want to explain it like this. What we're saying from here is, after I say it, it may be obvious or maybe not so obvious. When Chal says everything creation was created because there's a need and a purpose, it means there's a purpose even for the smallest fly. Might be a little chiddish. Why are all these flies flying around all over the place? All these little millions of ants flying. Everything that Hashem created has a purpose. Everything. And the fact that we don't understand it, right, is irrelevant. Because Hashem is the one who created it. Hashem knows the purpose. And Hashem knows the purpose. Someone with Ruach HaKodesh would be able to have an in, to be able to grasp what the purposes are of the various things that Hashem created here in this world. But here Ramchal says, this is a fact, this is a yesod. There's something that everything that Hashem created doesn't make a difference. From the largest animals to the smallest creatures, no matter what they are, it is a purpose. And that is l'mashu hatachlis haklolis shelabriya, for the general goal of creation. So there's a general goal in creation, and everything that was created in this world is for that general goal. So everything really has a purpose. V'chol chukoseyim u'mishpoteyim ativiyim. And all he says, the natural properties. In other words, Hashem created items, all these things, and they have natural properties. All these things that they have, Hashem determined, of course, these natural properties. Huchaku, they were determined. The hutbe'u, they were stamped into nature, Loshen Teva. Kifimah shegozro hachochma oyoino, based upon, so every nature of everything, different creatures have different natures. All these natures was given by Hashem for the purpose that Hashem wants it to have, for a purpose. So all these things, that's based upon to the decree of the Hashem's divine wisdom, which is suitable for this world. So everything here, that's why you found all the different creatures, so many different millions and millions of species, all that is for a particular purpose. And each species has its purpose why it is here. If you are kavana, and according to the kavana, to the purpose, the intent, shekivno benivrahu, that Hashem intended for that being. So every creature that Hashem created, this has this feature, this has that feature, this has 11 legs, this has 8 legs, 8 arms, 9 arms, whatever, there's a purpose which Hashem understands, and Hashem created it, that it should fulfill the purpose that Hashem wants it to fulfill, and that was the idea of it. So basically what it means is quite simply over here, and therefore he says, Ma'ulam, he says, Ma'oisa atam atzma shenivru, meaning, for that very reason itself they were created. Now, if Hashem created for a purpose, it means therefore they should be maintained. So Hashem also makes sure that the species are maintained. Because Hashem created them for a purpose. So therefore, Royal Gamke, and therefore it's only appropriate that a called man, as long as there still is a purpose. As long as Hashem still sees a purpose, Hashem will see to it to maintain them. To maintain them. Again, Kozman Hayezbom Tayelis Liklal Habriya, as long, right, as they still serve a purpose for creation in general, like we mentioned, Al Kane Ha'odom Borachu, right, Shabar Kolan Evram Le'elut, therefore Hashem will create all these things, will oversee them to see that they are maintained. Vayimna Gamke will not hold back Melashgiach Hashgoche. Hashem will make sure that there's Hashgoche to oversee them, to see that they are maintained. So basically, by the way, in Chelik Aleph, now we're doing Chelik Beis. In Chelik Aleph, basically, there the Mechal points out that everything that was created, by the way, was to serve man. That's also. That everything that was created was to serve man. Now, so which means that as long that a particular creature is able to serve some purpose for man, that's appropriate that remains in existence. By the way, that apparently implies, and that might be an answer to something that we see, and that is, that would imply that certain creatures can become extinct because they already served their purpose. In other words, we see something interesting. We hear about certain things, right? We hear about certain species that become extinct. How are they extinct? You see from Ramchal over here. Hashem created them for a purpose, and therefore royal gamkein she iskaimu calls a man hayosh bam tayelus, which means, but when Hashem sees that there is no tayelus, implies that then they will not. So that means that shaykh, that certain, right, certain species that become extinct. And that's basically what we see. That certain creatures can become extinct because they already served their purpose and they no longer need it. That's what comes out from the Ramchal. And in fact we see throughout the course of so many years, like things that existed no longer exist. And you say, why? Because the only purpose why we were created in the first place, because Hashem had a tachlis, there was a goal for them. And as long as that goal, right, as long as that goal is still needed, and he served that purpose, they're still going to be around. Hashem makes sure he's mashgiach upon them. So all these natural things, right, that made certain species be extinct, Hashem would not allow it to happen. Because Hashem is mashgiach alayim, it is. Hashem oversees them to make sure that what, that they are maintained. But once the purpose is no longer there, okay, so then they can become extinct, and they will, and they have. And this is what implied from the Ramchal. Again, as long as there's a tachlis, again, Lo'yimona gamkein HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not refrain Melashgiach Aleihem to oversee them, to supervise them, L'kaimom, to make sure they're maintained. Bo'is ha'matziv shu roitz ha'os ha'boi. Hashem will see to maintain them the matziv that Hashem wants them to be. That again, that's part of the Ashgoche. So the Ashgoche on creatures is to see that they survive, that they are maintained. Because Hashem thought them put here this world for a purpose. And being that this purpose, right, that's what they're serving, so Hashem also has Ashgoche on it to make sure that they have a kiyum, that they are able to be here. That's what Ramchal points out. Actually, the Sefer Sif Sechaim from Chaim, as we mentioned, you know, which is with Rosh Yeshiva, or actually Mashgiach in Ponovich, Chaim Friedlander, so he gives an example. For example, Kadosh Baruch Hu created cattle for certain purposes, right? Well, some of it would be, right, to serve mankind. Well, have meat for Shabbos. Maybe meat during the weekdays. Maybe to have milk to drink. To bring carbonus to the Beis Hamikdash. Animals, certain animals are brought as carbonus in the Beis Hamikdash, and so on. And by the way, the skin to be used, the parchment, to make tzum, to write Sefer Torah. Here, right away, just throwing off just a little bit, some ideas that we can relate to. I see that in the chelik of the animal world, which we can zero in a little bit to understand more, how they serve the purpose of mankind and so on. So for this end, by the way, so being, let's say, if you have these various services from a cow, so Kadosh Baruch Hu preserves the cow population. Yeah. And which cow is the one that, you know, to which particular cow is chosen to live and which to die? Well, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's chishbonus. That's not for us even to try to figure out, and we're no shaykhs to that. But Kaponim, these creatures, whatever Hashem created, is for that purpose, and Hashem will see to it that they have a kiyum. Now, base. Ramchal now wants to basically a little bit elaborate on the Hashgoche Protis, on the providence that Hashem exercises over creation. The Hashgoche Protis that Hashem oversees. He supervises. The Olam, he says, Kvah Higdamnu B'chel Grishin Pei Chamishi. We already pointed out, he says, in the first Chelik, פרק חמישי, שתחילו סנבואים כולם הם הכויכס הנבדולים. That Ramchal pointed out again, if you remember, he said anything physical in this world, its root is in the spiritual world. And first, situations happen in the spiritual world, which now evolved down to this world. So when we observe phenomena in this world, it didn't start here. But basically, the blueprint of what happens down here in the physical world was already rooted. So he rooted in the upper world, as he repeats again, Shetchilas HaNevroim Kulam, the beginning of all physical beings, Kulam Hem HaKoiches HaNevdolim. These are basically belong to the separated Koiches, to the upper forces, Umihem, and from the upper forces, Mishtal Shalim HaGishomim, the Gashmias, from them basically evolves, the physical evolves, he says, from the spiritual. Not just in general, but even in particular. Things of a physical nature in this world with all their particulars. All the particulars that you see down here, where do they come from? It's what it was transferred down here from the upper koiches, beproti, down to the specific characteristics. Which means to say, it's not just the general existence of the physical comes from the spiritual, but in the details. In the details of the physical down here comes from the spiritual. So you see the connection that there is between this physical world to the spiritual world up there. And this is the link, which this is the chain that we have from one going to the other. The Ein, he says, there's nothing, he says, nothing small or large in Gashmias, in the physical world. The cause and the origin comes from above, comes from the spiritual world. Doesn't make a difference if something is large or even something small, no matter. There's nothing to say, Shalila Sibir Bishayish Bekoiches HaNevdolim, in the upper Koiches, the separated Koiches, Kefi Bechinesayim, correspond to their characteristics. In other words, different physical things have different characteristics. Well, all those different characteristics are also rooted in various areas in the spiritual world. So the characteristics down here that the different physical beings have, all these different, the Bechinesayim, all the different characteristics down here, basically are rooted up there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu supervises to see that what he created. V'hodoin Baruch Hu hineh hu mashgiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mashgiach. He oversees. He supervises. Al kol elo hanyonim kifima shebaro'om. HaKadosh Baruch Hu oversees all these matters according to how that he created them. Right? The Hainu, he says, Ala koiches hanevdolim b'rishoyna. He first oversees what's happening in Shemaim, obviously. Because what's happening in Shemaim, right, basically evolves down here. So basically, Kodesh Baruch Hu oversees what happens up there. And Al kol hishtal shuloysom. And then what develops from above, kifimashu be'emes, what is truly meant to be down here. So in other words, very clearly, each step of development, whether it's in the upper levels, or whether it is in the physical world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly is hands on, is mashgiach, on everything that happens, takes place, and make sure the right things take place. Now, in Shemaim also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed various malachim. Malachim, and Kodesh Baruch Hu gave different shlichus and Dev Malachim. Kodesh Baruch Hu makes sure he oversees that. V'chein hu mashgiach gam ken ala pekidim. Similarly, v'chein means similarly. Kodesh Baruch Hu also oversees the pekidim are, what's a pekid? Pekidim are the spiritual ministers. Means the Malachim. The spiritual ministers, he says, shehifkid al hanimtsoyis, that he pointed over the physical beings. He says, k'mash l'chan v'sham, as we mentioned there, because Ramchal mentioned over there in Perek Aleph, in Chelek Aleph, he says that the Malachim, he says, were created as Hashem's tools for implementing His Gzeiris. Hashem makes Gzeiris. And Kodesh Baruch Hu appointed, said Ramchal, Kodesh Baruch Hu appointed Malachim to see to it that they carry out these Gzeiris. So Kodesh Baruch Hu basically oversees them to maintain their ability. They should have the power to give them and to allow them the power to do what they do. Lekayim oisom, to maintain them, those malachim. Tes pukudosom. In other words, to be mekayim them, they should be able to fulfill their assignment. Ulam hazben am koyach, and to continue, so Kodesh Baruch Hu gives them the power. Sheyefalu pulosom, that they are able to effectively achieve the work that they have to do. So in other words, two things. In addition, if Chazal gives them assignments, he also gives them the ability to do it. These are the two things. That's what Ramchal says. Chazal gives them the assignment. That's Pukudosam. Pukudosam is the assignment. Different Malachim have different assignments. Because Chazal is Mashgiach, he says, also, Lahas Milam Koyach. To give them the ability, she followed Pulosam, she be able to carry it out. So both things. As a matter of fact, Sifah Hasidus pointed out that every mitzvah says it, said B'Shem B'Bal Shem Tov. Chazal says, put on tefillin. Or the Torah says, eat matzah. So Ben said, every mitzvah, there are two parts of every mitzvah. Dainu, first is the commandment. And also, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us the haftocha, that if you want to do it, I will give you the ability to do it. And whenever a person should not say, he said, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me a mitzvah, I'm not able to do it. So Zit the Boshom, if you really want to do it, Kodesh Baruch Hu will see to it to give you the Siat Yishmai to be able to do it also. So in the Tzibur is also a certain like a haftocha. Not only am I commanding you to do it, but also there's a haftocha that you will be able to do it. And this is basically what Amchal points out in general, as he shows, Kodesh Baruch Hu created, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives assignments, Kodesh Baruch Hu also gave them the koyach to be able that they should be able, that they should be able to do it. She'll follow Pulosim that she'll be able to. Now, the Omnom, he says, Ramchalma explains, however, how Hashem's Hashgacha over man is different. Till now, we're talking about Hashgacha in general. Hashgacha in general, Hashem oversees everything that happens. Hashgacha oversees to see what he created creatures and to maintain them. They should have an existence. We saw that. How is different now, Hashgacha's Hashgacha on man? How does that differentiate? So Ramchal says here in Gimel, Vomnom, he says, says Ramchal. Vomnom behiyois. He says, being, he says, shenishtame hamin ha'anushi mikol shah haminim. Being, he says, that the species of man, right, the min ha'anushi, the min ha'anushi, the species of man differs from all other species. In what way is first man different? Not just he looks different, animals also have different surahs. Man is different that he was given free will. Man is different, shenitin lo ha'bechira. Man was given the choice, was given the bechira, by a choilus, along with the ability, and that is b'ma shehuloi, kinias shleimus oi chisoran. Man has the choice, either to acquire shleimus, to acquire perfection, or shortcomings, deficiencies. But that sense man is different. We should point out that man's bechira is only limited either to perfection, right, or pointing out to shortcomings. That's based upon what the Gemara says, as we know in Brachas, we've heard that many times, Daf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara says, Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mi yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is not b'dei shemayim, that's you. You have the bechira. When it comes to Yerushalayim, that's not b'dei shemayim. So Hakol b'dei shemayim, yes, everything is b'dei shemayim. Chutz mi yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is something that's you. You choose to do it the Bachat or Bachayim or Chazishon the other way, as the Torah tells us. Reina Sata Lefonecho, and we've given you the choice. So Hakol B'dei Shemayim, Chutz Mi Yerushalayim. Yes, the good news is that once you make the choice, you want to do the right thing, Habol Etayim Messiah Nosei. Yes, then Kodesh Baruch Hu will help you. But you have to make the choice. The choice is yours. So Hakol B'dei Shemayim, Chutz Mi Yerushalayim. But once you make the choice, yes, I want to be Yerushalayim. I want to try to do the right thing. And you put in the effort, and when you come across, so listen, that I boil the time, Messiah knows that Kodesh Baruch will see to it that you'll have a Siat Yishmai to be able to carry it out. So Kapolin says, Ramchal, being that man has a Bechira, he has the Cholus. He has the Cholus either to be Kohen Shleimus or Chisorin. So now it comes out that man is not like all other. All other creatures are on the receiving side. They are affected. Man on the other hand, is not merely affected, he affects others. Because man has the bechira to do things. That's the difference. He said, the nims of the bechira, that man is a poil, umaniya. Man is active, and he's a moving influence. He's not merely acted upon. All other animals, they don't have the bechira. Kodesh Baruch Hu puts them where he wants to put them, right? And whatever mission Kodesh Baruch Hu has for them, they're going to do, they don't realize it, but whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu wants them, they're going to do. So animals are acted upon. All of the creatures are acted upon. Whereas man is not like that. He has the bechira, so therefore he's active, not acted upon. He's a poil, v'loy nifal. He's not merely acted upon. That's what's different is. Which means that a person's decisions has an influence, right? Has an influence. That's the koyach of man. Man's decision has an influence. So being that man's decision has an influence, so now when man makes a decision, Kabbalah says, is that what you want? Okay. I'll see to it that what you do, not. There may be punishment at the other end. If you do the right thing, there will be reward. But now Kodesh Baruch Hu will take man and lead him down to the path but where his bechira, right, where man made his own choice to take him to. Here points out Ramchal, gam ha hashgocha olof. So now the hashgocha regarding man, being the man as a choice, so what's the nature of the hashgocha? Mochach, right, in other, it has to be, it must be, sheitishtamim hashgocha al shal haminim. The hashgocha on man is different than all other minim, than all other species. In other words, by all other species, as we point out, a creature has no ability to make independent decisions, and he has no influence. But man or mice has free will to make decisions, right? Even including in the spiritual realms. So the Hashgacha is also different regarding man. He's going to point out. So how is the Hashgacha regarding man? So he says the following: Hine, therefore, yitzarech lahashgiach ulahashkif al protemasov. A man now. Okay, Baruch now has to oversee, has to be mashgiach, right? And he has to survey all of man's specific actions. All of man's specific actions. It's basically, the Hainu, lahamtziloi kidrochov ukepri malolov. Because Baruch Hu through his hashgacha, interesting, because Baruch Hu through his will provide a man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds. Which basically means to say that even, by the way, Ramchal says in Chelek Aleph, even the thoughts of man have effect on the spiritual world above, even the thought of man. And therefore, since the thought of man and his actions, right, and actions affect the rest of creation, so Hashem now ensures that those effects are actualized. Interesting. That was given, that mantle of Bechir has a koach to affect the world. Sigh for good and sigh for bad, depending. And that's all through Hashem's Hashgacha. The Nimtze, what comes out, Sheyishguchu Maisov Kulam V'Toldoseim. All of a person's actions are overseen along with the consequences in order for these actions to take effect. And, however, the Machal talks later in a different chapter. If you do the right thing, you'll get schar. If not, it'll be punishment. But Maisa, the Bechir of the man is, yes, man can destroy the world, man can change the world, man can do it. Shabbat created a beautiful world, man destroys it. He has a bechira. That's what the bechira means. That's the nature of man. Man is the bechira. And the Hashgacha provides man that koyach. But at the end, there will be consequences also in terms of that situation. So we're going to stop here just for now for this, because it goes on and on. And to see a little bit from the Sifra Chassidus, now in the world of Chassidus, what Hashgacha Protis means. So we can take a look here on the sheet, Rabbi Sai. We'll find it first of all from the Baal Shem Tov, which is the foundation when it comes to these inyonim of Hashgacha Protis. And we take the first item from the Sefer Shomer Amunim. Shomer Amunim, of course, was from the Rebbe of the Rabbala, going back. Rabbala was the founder of, you know, Yerushalayim in Eir Sharm. If you have the Toldos Aharon and all the Toldos Aharon Yitzchok, the Einiklich, basically, of the Shomer Amunim Rebbe, of the original Shomer Amunim Rebbe. So we begin with the first item here. Hashem Yisborach Mashgiach Hashgacha Protis. That echod mi yesoides haChassidus. One of the foundations of Chassidus is shechidish lama Baal Shem Tov b'Toroso. Baal Shem Tov was mechadish, exacting Hashgacha Protis is so detailed, is so on the mark on every dot. The Baal Shem Tov Hashgacha Protis kol mashor dem roye b'shemeya. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, kol amu uroye shekoyim loy. Anything that happens to a man. Kol amu uloyes shekoyim boilam. Things that happen in the world. Hakol nase b'hashgacha protis min hashamayim. Which means, as the Gemara says, ein adam noike v'etzboyim amato. A man does not stub his toe on the bottom unless shamayim was an announcement. So and so is going to stub his toe. Ein adam noike v'etzboyim amato. Elimke machrizin olam namala. The ein shum evin is rekis. A rock, for example, will not be thrown. The ein shum esav nekar, or blade of grass, be uprooted. Kim bizman, in the time and the place where Hashem wants it to happen. Bizman aloyle, Hashem alakenu, who might be alashodis, because Baruch Hu sits up high, but at the same time, alagam hashpiru liroys, he has eyes looking all the way down, vashemayim v'beoris. B'chol es, b'chol rega, every moment, every second, nisnahelim chay hayom yoyim ba'olam, rag bashgachosoy ubipikuchoy. It's under Hashem's supervision. Ein ho'olam nisnahel api mikra zman. The world does not run by chance. Like the Rishoyim say, Hashem says, Hashem abandoned the world. Things just happen because they happen. Even a interesting thing. This is one of the famous things of Baal Shem Tov. You see a wind blowing. Right? When it blows, you find some leaves fall off a tree. Because the Shgacha Pratis, that leaf should fall out. Not only was that a Shgacha Pratis, that the leaf should fall. The Shgacha Pratis, that leaf should fall and fall down where it falls. We look at it, that's random. The wind blew out the leaf all over the place. Baal Shem Tov used to say another example, just to bring this a little clear. See, sometimes even when you see a wagon, right, with a stack with hay, then the wagon, there's a bumpy road. So as the wagon, right, goes over the bumps, so some of the straw falls. Baal Shem Tov said, which piece of straw should fall and where is also Shgacha Pratis? Ad kedei kach. It's amazing how exacting the Shgacha Pratis goes. And that's what we're saying, wherever a leaf. So the famous Maaseh, Maaseh is quoted in a number of places with the Baal Shem Tov. The Maaseh, he brings down here, next paragraph or down here. Maaseh Shebaal Shem Tov holachim talmidov. B'chur shasetzim. That was in a forest, they're walking somewhere in a forest. But Pesa Noshva Ruach, all of a sudden came a very wild wind. And Tosha Alim in Oilun. Right? And blew away, tore away some blades of, some leaves from the tree. He pilos them out so, and they fell to the ground. Ponash Baal Shem Tov the Talmidov. So Baal Shem Tov says to Talmidim, he said, Hayyodim Atim, do you know why Hashem brought a wind right now? What do you think Hashem brought a wind right now? Why? He says some sort of a climate change or something just happened? Baal Shem Tov, I'll explain to you why Hashem brought this particular moment, why Hashem brought the wind, which caused, of course, that certain leaves, right, should fall down. So, Shoshka Talmidim, of course, the Talmidim were quiet, they didn't know the answer. Himisha Baal Shem Tov Yomer. L'margo is echad o'isim yishedes, he says, telas alalu. There happens to be a worm, many worms, on trees and on leaves. There was a worm that was on a leaf, and it happened to be under a very hot sun. And there was a tremendous tzar bala chaim that this worm had. And the worm cries out to Kodesh Baruch Hu, please help me. The Baal Shem, the Kodesh Baruch Hu brought a wind, tears out that leaf that had that worm on it, and puts it under the shade. Kodesh Baruch Hu was Mashgiach directly, exactly. Baal Shem was able to know that. With his Ruach HaKodesh, explain what happened over here. And he said, Yispalo Allah Hashem. He said, this worm, he says, or this ant was mispal to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shatzilo mechayim hashemesh. Same, he says, from the heat of the sun. Ayde haruach noflo alo imatoyelus tolas atzo. So made through the wind, right? So this leaf with the worm fell to the ground. Boifnizeh nitzlo hatolas mechayim hashemesh. This is how the worm became spared. He said, the kach kosu b'gemara. The truth is, this is b'feresh gemara, because the gemara says, Kodesh Baruch Hu also has a seder hayom. If we would have access, Kodesh Baruch Hu has a daily planner, and it says exactly what Hashem does. So the gemara lets us know a little bit Hashem. So what does Hashem do in the first 3 hours in the morning? So the gemara says, in the Zohar Dav Gimel, shebisholis hashoyis hashlishios bin hayom, sheyoshev Kodesh Baruch Hu kibiyochol. Kodesh Baruch Hu there decides which the world, how to feed the world, the animal world, the zon es kol oilam mikarna ve'emim, from the horns of the mighty ve'emim. It's not very clear how to identify ve'emim, but he's talking about these are very large animals. Adetzechinim, to the small eggs, he says, of the smallest of the lice, going down to from the largest to the smallest. Kloimer min achaya hagdoyle beyoser v'achaya haktana beyoser v'takeach Kodesh Baruch Hu brach v'makom zeh. So Kodesh Baruch Hu exactly, so Kodesh Baruch Hu keeps an eye on each layer of millions of creatures, millions of billions of different types of. Kodesh Baruch Hu has mamish, knows the needs of each and every little creature. Shavuot sees that every creature should have that which it needs. So here's the Pelah d'Gezach. I want to show you something. It says Mekanu Re'emin. It says right from the horns of the Re'emin. So this Re'em is a mighty animal. So why don't you move down to number three? Move down to number three in the bottom. Seven called Oitzer Hayedias from Michel Shem. He's a dying in Eretz Yisrael, dying in Nezris Torah. I'm the nephew of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So it brings down from the Chidoch. Listen to this, from the Sefer Midbar Kedemois. The Chidoch writes, this is what the Chidoch writes. He writes, the Chidoch writes, Heidi Shemotzo Klaf Yoshin, found on an aged parchment, an old piece of parchment, Mishnas Reish Chovov. This is 1466, okay? An old aged parchment from the year 1466. Shekana Re'emim, talking about Kana Re'emim, because Baruch Hu writes, so, because Baruch Hu sustains from the largest animal to the smallest. Kana Re'emim, what's Kana Re'emim? This particular animal, listen to this, he found it on an aged parchment. He min chaya tohira, it's a kosher animal. She's man ibura yud beishona. It carries its young, it's a gestation period of 12 months. It's pregnant for 12 months. Yeah, 12 years. But listen, it's an amazing thing. It's pregnant for 12 years. Ubeishona yud alef, lerayona. In the 11th year, imagine how large it gets. Pregnant for so many years. In the 11th year of its pregnancy, noifelus al sida, because of the weight, it falls on the side. The shuv eina yechoyl olamoy. It cannot get up. How's it going to survive? How's it going to survive? So the chidol sees this in the aged piece of parchment. The Baruch Hu sends the panosa. How? Again, written that piece of parchment there. The Torah says, "Real mepil." This one happens as the animal lies on the side. Some of the saliva comes out of its mouth. The saliva comes and wets the ground. Because Baruch Hu causes vegetation to grow, and it eats the vegetation right next to it. It doesn't have to move anywhere until it gives birth. That's the nest. That's the Kodesh Baruch Hu brings. He sustains. Kodesh Baruch Hu brings mezoinus. Miraculous ways. Kodesh Baruch Hu is zon mekane reimim. What's kane reimim? Imagine this miraculous type of a situation. Kodesh Baruch Hu sees to it the animal is not able to move. So how's he going to get food? The saliva wets the ground. He says, umatzmiach asabim sovilo. And it's matzmiach, all types of grass. Umizeh, mispanes is kol ayud beschoidish. Because there's one more year left, right? Because this is the 11th year already. One more year until it gives birth. So that year, it's able to sustain itself. He says, from the apines that Kodesh Baruch Hu causes, that the asabim should grow around it. Again, that's the shah Kodesh Baruch Hu gives panose. So I want to show you something here. Go to the top, here, number four. Go to the top. Hoysev HaRebbe Mikotsk. The Sefer called Mayin HaNitzchi. Hoysev HaRebbe Mikotsk. The Kotsk Rabbi said the following. Hashgoche Protis, he says, I want to give you an example. This is Mamish on the lines of the Baal Shem Tov. Because it sounds like unlikely. Is Hashem really bother himself with such mundane things? The Kotsk Rabbi said the following. So what happens if there's a stick, right? You find a stick. A stick that basically is pushed into sand. Right? So what happens when you pull out the stick? So now that you pull out the stick, the hole, so pieces of sand fall from the side into the hole. Because Kurebi said, which grain should fall where into the hole, he says, is part of Hashgacha Pratis. Even Atkerikach, he points out, similar idea in the lines of the Baal Shem Tov. Probably this is Makabu, you know, Torah is from the going all the way back. Hoysa Rebbe Mikotsk Yomar, Hashgacha Pratis Perusha Gam Kasha Mishu. He says, Toikeya Makol Toich. Let's say you take a stick and you stick it into a Reim Aschol. Right, you have a sandbox. So you stick in a stick. Lachazman Humoysis Amakom Naremo. Then you take out the stick from the box. Call Galgir Vigalgir. Every grain of sand should Neufel Mino Aremo that falls from the box. Neufel and Mokoim should cover. That's exactly to the place it's supposed to be. Nothing is by chance. So it brings down here that the Sefer Torah Sovos, that's from the Slonimer dynasty. So actually the founder of the Slonimer dynasty was the Moshe Lekabriner. Great tzaddik, ish kodesh he was. So it brings down, Mesaprim Chasidim, that Pam Potso Sreifer Bekobrin, that once there was a Sreifer in the town of Kobrin, Mokar Meshovi, that was the place where he lived, Harava Kodesh Vemoshe Mekobrin, Zechat Tzaddik Kodesh Avrocha. So what happened was that Bote Royor and Hepchul Machol Esech was a Sreifer town. And houses began to burn. Toyos Man Kosher, in a short time, houses, you know, made of wood, house next to the house, one house catches fire, it just goes one from the other, contagious, one fire just burns and continues on to the next. So he says, Namir HaTzadik Ubnei Beisa B'Merchit. So the Tzadik was standing from a distance, watching what's happening with the fire. And the Rebbe said to the Chasidim, just watching that fire, and he says to them, "De'u, I want you to know, Shekeis Yoyim HaMalochim B'Shemayim, the Malochim B'Shemayim, and they are supervising exactly how much has to burn and how much is going to survive. It's not just going to burn at random. And sometimes you see a half a house burn down, and the half a house happened to be saved. So the Kabbalah Rebbe said, I'm Alochim now, Shemaim, just watching, alive. In other words, an inch will not burn more than is supposed to happen. And that was supposed, only that, so the Malachim, they're making sure, said that nothing burns more than are supposed to, he says. The Malachim Shemayim Mashgichim Be'ayne Pekiche, they have clearly an eye, so Yisarif Shum Dover Noisif, Milvad, he says, Eilu Shenigzalem Shisifu. And the Kabbalah Rebbe says in business also like that. Who thinks gives you the idea, he says, to invest in a certain area? So you think it was your Chachma. Yeah, but who placed that chokhmah in your mind? Because Baruch Hu doesn't want you to invest money, sometimes Chas v'Shalom to lose it also. Because Baruch Hu has his ways. So, because Baruch Hu puts that idea in your mind, and because Baruch Hu makes you think it's a good investment, and sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. So, Kabbin Rebbe said, Kasha Yalu B'Dafei Liknas Chayfetz, not just investment, when you want to buy something. Buy something. Who planted that idea in your mind? You want to buy a chefetz pleni. Im yamam b'amuni shalema. If the person believes, shemachshava liknos esoyis a chefetz. And also the price of what's going to be. The price that you're going to pay. V'amachir shiboy yiknos a chefetz. Hakol ma'asa b'shgoch protus. If you believe that. And also who sells it also believes that min shemayim I should be able to sell this item. V'chen ha'moichim yamam b'bir. Sh'arotzen limko chefetzeh. And the price, everything is b'shgoch. So the Kovner Rebbe said, I promise you, if you have that kind of a mother, you're going to always have a tzoche. And then the Rebbe said, and who gives me, who says I can be a guarantor? I'm a guarantor anyway, he says. I'm guaranteeing anyway. Who gave me the cost to be up? I'm going to guarantee it. So let me just conclude with a fascinating little thing, just tell you on both sides. There are many, many places, like we do, that we have, there's a shir before the shir, before the dafirma, we have a shir, it's based upon the calendar that we have, you know, the Shemiras HaLoshon has been set up. It's been set up already for many, many years, in many different editions of the Shemiras HaLoshon, of course, according to the calendar dates. So remember, you finish a cycle, then you start over again, you go over again. Every day in the Chodesh has its designated, you know, paragraphs of the Shemiras HaLoshon. So some according to when they make a siyam, so they have a little bit of a suda, they make a siyam on the Shemiras HaLoshon. There was a Chosh Rosh Yeshiva by the name of Chaim Yitzchak Chaikin, he was a Yeshiva in Aix-les-Bains in France. Well-known Chosh Yeshiva, Yidid Tzadik, as a matter of fact. So he was a Talmud of Chofetz Chaim. Chaim Yitzchak Chaikin was his name. And he was basically, we do a lot of things, personal situations that he had with the Chofetz Chaim. And he says the following thing. It was a Chosh Yeshiva, a tremendous Talmud Chocham. His name was Rabbi Yoel Leader. Rabbi Leader, let's call him. And his Rabbi Leader once comes to a city, and he was hosted by a big gevir, by a very rich man. This man had a lot of investments all over the place, in many, many different places. And while he was there, this man, this Oisha, didn't stop boasting about his business acumen, about the kishrin that he has, up to the point that he says that he has nothing ever to fear of becoming poor. Because why? Because he says, because there's so much in different areas, diversified portfolio. So if even this goes, he still has this. If that goes, he has that. It's very unlikely, he says, everything should go. He has so many different hatzlochadigay. He says, Mekoymus, where he has investments that bring him. So maybe he says, I have nothing really to worry about, anything, he says. And even he says, if the government, he says, if the government says, takes away whatever they see, he has a lot of hidden assets, which the government doesn't have eyes on either. So Meli says, there's no way, he says, that anything can happen. And this Rabbi Yoel Leader, as we said, the Chosh of Yid, he said, please don't boast like that. This is not a matter of a Yid to say that you have control of whatever you have. Don't do it. Years later, the Tsar Nikolai comes passing through the town where the city where that Gevir lived. By the way, one of the major projects, which was also a chelik of his ashiras, was he was given, he had the contract, he had the government contract to build bridges. The government contract, and that was quite a hefty situation to have the kind of, quite the schus to have the kind of a contract. Yeah, he made it. He was okay for life. So he built quite a number of bridges. And the Tsar Nikolai comes. Right? But when he comes with a whole entourage, and this, for a special reason he came, he brought one of his most decorated generals and most successful, experienced soldiers he had with him. And he came with royal carriages, and crossing one of the bridges, boom, that bridge had a weak link, which happens, and the bridge collapsed. And there were tens and tens of the most chashuv soldiers of the Tsar fell and they drowned. Got killed. Who's at fault? The builder of the building project. So right away, they knew they were going to arrest him. And in those days, there was nothing to decapitate anybody, you know, for the small things. Something like that's a tremendous crime. Achas doso lehomis. He saw the handwriting on the wall, so he figures he has to run away. What does he do? He goes to the safe. He had the banknotes, which were really very valuable. And he stuffs his pocket, he says, with as much banknotes that he can, and he runs away. And from time to time, he keeps checking his pockets to make sure it didn't fall out. So once he gets at a station that he feels he can rest a little bit, he just puts it in his pocket and he finds out he made a mistake. Instead of the bank notes, he took garbage paper. You know, in his excitement, he had all kinds of stuff over there. Yes, they're documents, but they're not worth anything in terms of cash. So he thought that he stuffed his pockets, he said, with money, he should be able. The mice, he took nothing. It turned out in 1 second, Mamish, he was an onivarian. He had nothing. Because what he had there, he had to leave. What he thought he took with him, he made a mistake. The papers they put in his pocket were not banknotes. There was some paper, maybe some document that would have had cheshivas, but it was nothing they could exchange into any cash value. Didn't have anything. It turns out in a situation like that, he realized, not only that, he was the only Aviv, without even having, anything to show. There's no vat or a bonum to show you that you can say anything about him. He had no tzetel. Let's go with this man. For one moment became a beggar. He had to go Pesach to Pesach, had to go mamish from door to door. Mamish asking for handouts, but tremendous yisurim. Yet zionis is something he never was used to in his life. It comes back, it comes out that quite a number of years later, in particular Shabbos, he happens to come to a town. That town, his town had a Chnosos Orchem place. So a stranger he was. He goes to a Chnosos Orchem place, and in that Chnosos Orchem place, who does he meet? Rabbi Yehuda Leader, the Yid who he hosted years ago, and told him, stop boasting, he said, of all the money that you have. And he sees him, and he began to cry, burst out the tears, because he remembered the Musa that the Yid gave him. And he began to tell him what happened, and he said that Mamish, he said that the world is a wheel that turns. He says it was Mamish up there in the highest and the highest, and this is thing turned over Mamish in one moment, things changed. Which shows again, he said, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, right, is Mashpil. Kodesh Baruch Hu can lower, married, if he's Mashpil, and also Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mashpil. 1 second, Kodesh Baruch Hu can change the fate of a situation. So the famous Rosh Yeshiva, who was Rosh Yeshiva, by the way, the Chofetz Chaim's Yeshiva was from Tovi Trop. Very sharp, the Shurim of Haganat from Tovi Trop is one of the deepest Shurim, the Choshev Shurim in all of my Yeshivas. The Ganat said Pshat, we're saying Halil. Shuvi Nafshil Im Nechoichi. Ki Hashem Gomal Elohi. He said like this. If a person wants his neshama should have menuche, shuvu nafshi lum nuchoichi. If a person wants his nefesh to have menuche, what's the etzer? Ki Hashem Gomal Elohi. Whatever you have comes from Hashem. If you connect yourself with that ashkofe, if you are mechaber yourself, you attach yourself, then your nefesh will have menuche, and you can be zoche to call to the toiv. Your rotsum should come to that madrega.